George Capinelli here. Welcome to this edition of Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I'm Alan Huttner. We're your ever diligent saging hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. As always, welcome to in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features interspersed with some great music.
Our topic, whose country is this? We're going to look at the fact that we are in what, in our opinion, is a struggle for the heart and soul of America. Indeed, this struggle is being advanced with great skill and cunning by a relatively small but very powerful group of people who are committed, it seems, to turning this great nation into their own private domain. It's a struggle in which the rules are now stacked in favor of the few against the many, and what will happen if we don't pay close attention will be beyond the comprehension of most of us. You'll also hear the first part of a great conversation Alan had with wise man and author Thomas More on his new book, A Religion of One's Own.
You know, and it's more than religion, George. Thomas More alludes to not only the human soul, but the very heart and soul of America, as you point out, as well as, and I got to add, the soul of the world.
Yep.
So we have our musical interludes, of course, today with Leonard Cohen doing The Future. We have Bruce Springsteen, Something from This Hard Land, and Bob Dylan, always a classic of I Shall Be Released. Our special features today, George and I will bring you another You've Got to Be Kidding segment. Sedina will share another valuable enlivened aging strategy, and George will close with another provocative commentary.
So welcome to this place where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century. As we open our show today, I want to remind you that Age Nation Radio Magazine is not a political program. Our mission is to present information, inspiration, and solutions for individuals and organizations who want to contribute to living more consciously and aging wisely. However, as we look out on the landscape of America today, we believe that part of our mission and our obligation is to speak out on issues of consequence. And unfortunately, in this age, the struggle to retain and protect the soul of this nation involves all of us, and so that's our topic today. No matter how noble the objectives of government, if it blurs decency and kindness, cheapens human life, and breeds ill will and suspicion, it is an evil government. This quote by Eric Hoffer, social and moral philosopher and winner of the Presidential Medal, speaks directly to our topic of whose country is it. Yes, we believe it's time, way past time, for those of us who call ourselves American to wake up and realize that we're in a real struggle for the survival of our democracy and our way of life. We believe it's time to realize that we're no longer living in a nation in which our citizens, all of them at least, are in favor of the fundamental rights clearly articulated in our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. Instead, it appears there are some who believe it's time to abandon our foundational premise that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these is the right to liberty, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So it's time we take our individual and collected heads out of the sand and realize that no matter what ethnic group we belong to, no matter our color or creed, no matter our political affiliation, our economic or educational strata. We must stop, look, and listen to what is really going on in this country before it's too late.
And we do assure you that we're not exaggerating or distorting. America is at war within itself, and so is the world. With its founding principles and guiding beliefs and the aligned, selfish money and power interests of the oligarchs and plutocrats, well, so, if all of us are interested in the founding principles of equality and sharing, it's time to wake up and acknowledge what's going on. Each and every one of us and the world as a whole will lose one of the most remarkable experiments in human governance and human life the world has ever known. Yes, what is at stake today in America and the world is this grand and noble experiment in representative democracy itself, an experiment that has given to each and every citizen, after much turmoil and suffering, the right to exercise their right to vote, now being threatened. To elect representatives whose primary responsibility is to represent the people who have cast their ballots in their favor and to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help us God.
So although this experiment was unfortunately established at the cost of the subjugation of the rights of others, the indigenous people whose land we originally took, the people of color who we brought here against their will and used as our slaves, yes, these are the crimes of our founding fathers and their offspring, and they were committed in the name of so-called freedom. They are the crimes for which each and every American is still accountable and unfortunately too unrepentant. But since these early crimes against humanity, some among us have struggled hard and mightily to correct the early sins of our ancestors by setting aside their limitations and prejudice and working tirelessly to fulfill the promise articulated in our founding documents. Periodically in our history, however, most particularly in the past 40 years, there have been attempts to reverse these gains. At other times, of course, the Civil War and whatnot, our nation has been torn apart. But since the 70s, 1970s, there's been a new movement afoot, a well-planned, very intentional movement to reverse the gains we've made and to undercut the foundations of our way of life. This movement was launched under a president whose folksy charm and movie star manner made it seem so palatable, and it hid the true objectives. It seemed, in fact, just an effort by one political party to advance objectives that were a little more conservative than the other. But the majority of us still thought they were well within the boundaries of our Declaration of Rights and our Constitution.
But this trickle-down, self-serving of the elite movement gained momentum, as George said, in the 70s and the 80s to today, as its proponents became more skilled in the use of a power of sophisticated marketing, more aware of some of the weaknesses in our delicate system of checks and balances. This group of revisionists and obstructionists redoubled their efforts and began systematically to disclose an even more dangerous agenda. They directed their attention to taking possession of the local political infrastructures, school boards, city councils. Nothing, in fact, was too small or insignificant to manipulate.
With each victory, they grew stronger, and then the real stuff happened. The Supreme Court electing our presidents and making a mockery of justice, the ability of companies to pour as much money in as possible. Unless you're Rip Van Winkle, the truth of the matter is, you know that we're in trouble.
I know, George, you cited the Powell Memorandum written in 71. Maybe you just want to refer people to that.
Yeah, look it up. The Powell Memorandum written by Supreme Court Justice Lewis Powell before he took office. If it doesn't make the hair on your head stand up, then you're asleep at the switch. But let's pause at this point and leave you with the question, whose country is this?
Nothing you can't measure anymore.
Come back to the revolution, Age Nation Radio.
With us on our studio phone line for a featured guest conversation today, Thomas Moore, returning to the show. It's been about a year since we last chatted that on the celebration of a release of the hardcover, A Religion of One's Own, A Guide to Creating a Personal Spirituality in a Secular World. Thomas Moore back here just about a year later as we were speaking off mic to celebrate the paperback release, which is suggested and endorsed reading by yours truly right here. So we're going to talk about that. Let me welcome you first, Thomas, and then, you know, just so nice that we can chat. We probably have about a 25-year history, I think, going back to some of your earlier books.
Yes, it goes back a long way, and I really appreciated your support in those early days, yeah. As I do now.
Yeah, well, thanks. We continue to move forward, and let me give a little more bio about Thomas Moore. Of course, he is a best-selling author. He travels and speaks. He's a counselor still. He is a professor and psychotherapist. But he's best known, I think, to the largest number of people for his New York Times best-selling books addressing the soul, including Dark Nights of the Soul, Care of the Soul, Soulmates, The Soul's Religion, and The Soul of Sex. In addition to those, he has a number of other books to his credit, and the latest of which I just mentioned, released in paperback just this month, A Religion of One's Own, A Guide to Creating a Personal personal Spirituality in a Secular World, published by Gotham Books. So, you know, I'm going to get into Dark Nights of the Soul again here in my conversation, but I'm going to put that particular thing on hold right now to get an overview from you, you know? And to do that, I would say that this book, A Religion of One's Own, engages a very blessed place of divine perfection, the divine union of what you, I think, we'd all call an individuated soul with the God self, whatever that is, and we can talk about that momentarily. But which in reality is, as you're pointing out with this book, it's beyond religion as an organization or an organized system or even dogma. It is about the inner journey in silence to the core of presence, a touch-in to the all that is, that I think is really the soul's journey. So maybe we pick up with that, your thoughts about the core reality of what we name this soul journey.
This is what I've been interested in all my life, and I see religion in relation to this journey of the soul. And so I've defined religion differently than most people would. A lot of people, when they hear the word religion, they immediately think of a tradition or a church building or authorities or preachers or going to church on one day a week, things like that, especially being told what to do, what not to do. And those things are not essential to religion at all. To me, religion, if you hear this word religion, the way I hear it, what I mean is that the world we live in is full of mysteries, deep sources of meaning and value. So every aspect of life has this depth to it. So it might be nature. So as I speak to you now, I'm looking at a forest. And we can see that when I look at the trees, I can just say, well, I could look scientifically and describe them that way, but I could say that the meaning of the trees around to be in relationship with them is profound, and it can feed me every single day. So my relationship to those trees is part of my religion. It's my way of being connected to something that I feel to be sacred, holy, and inexpressible, mysterious. And that's what I mean by religion. So it's something that each of us practices every day. Now, you can be supported and get good ideas for that practice if you want by going to a church. And I use the traditions all the time as my resource to help me understand the religion that I live every day. So to me, the most important kind of religion is the thing that we do every day. And less important, but still significant, are those traditions that help us, give us ideas and inspiration.
Yeah. taking the traditions to where they are, I think what you're saying is, look, and so many people have been involved, whether it's a, you know, a church organization, a different religion, Judaism, even, you know, some of the Eastern disciplines. There comes a time maybe where you need to step out on your own and separate from the groupthink and some of the rules. And I think that's what you're talking about, that somewhere the journey is in instead of without, you know?
Yes, that's certainly true. And it's for some people that may mean that they have to separate from their tradition or from going their church going or whatever it is they were doing formally and go off on their own. For others, it means not being just a follower, so that if you still go to a church, that you find ways to cultivate your own religiousness outside the church as well. Yeah. You do it in your own way, even though you are part of a community.
Yeah. Would you say that religion and spirituality are maybe kind of describing a similar thing that we're talking about?
I think they do. I don't make such a big separation from between them that some people do.
Uh-huh.
When I lived as a monk, we were in a religion. I was in a Catholic religion, and that was very palpable all around us. But on the other hand, we talked about the spiritual life, and that was more the personal discoveries that we found in meditation, ritual, music, and that kind of thing. So in that case, when I was in the monastery, religion and spirituality were, they were like, they worked together, but they were different from each other. Today people tend to say, well, religion is an organization, and a lot of people say, I don't want to be part of that, but I do like spirituality because it's individual and it's something that inspires me and nobody's telling me what to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mentioned before, it's been about a year that we last had the pleasure of each other's company in the studio live, and that since that time, you know, my partner and co-host Elizabeth Rose have deepened and revised what I call our soulmate journey. Not always so easy, reorganizing the relationship where two souls are traveling a path to their self-knowing or self-realization or God-realization. And, you know, I think relationship is very important too. So speak about this two souls journeying on the path maybe to one common source or one place of knowing of God or the divinity. And, of course, you wrote one of the books I mentioned with Soulmate, so take that.
Yes, I said there in that book, that was 20 years ago, that that a relationship, the soul dimension of a relationship is very, very profound and deep and mysterious and unknown to the person who has the soul. You know, that's the point. We don't even know our souls that well. We just know that there's a lot inside of us that's that is at work in our daily lives, and we notice that we see it in our emotional reactions and so on. But this is the point, that in relationship, the person doesn't know himself very well, and then you're supposed to know the person you're with, who is also vast and mysterious. So I think that when you have a common soul journey together, you have to, first of all, allow the other person to be really different from you, because they don't even know what's going on, and you can't demand that they tell you exactly what's happening with them or that they will be the same in the future, because we don't know. We change. And so to be in a soul journey, you have to allow the other person to discover who they are and what life wants of them, and to be with them in that. I think that's exciting, but it's also difficult.
Yeah.
Because so often we wish that the person that we're with would be what we want them to be and what's comfortable to us. But if you're really in this soul movement, the soul journey, you have to surrender that. You have to give that up.
Yeah.
You have to enjoy it, but at the same time allow the other person to go in their own direction.
All right. Very well said. We are speaking with Thomas Moore and A Religion of One's Own. We're going to do multiple parts. We shall return for more.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio. You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
George and Alan back. Alan, as usual, wonderful job on the conversation with Thomas. He's such a, you know, there are people who are, you can hear in the timbre of his voice the depth of his personal journey and the integrity with which he's conducted it, you know?
Yeah.
And like you, I've had the pleasure of spending a little time with him, and he's just an extraordinary guy. And I love the way he defines, you know, religion as sacred and holy and expressive and something that one experiences independent of any of the institutions that promote that thing called religion, you know?
And all of that, sacred, holy, is tied so deeply for him and a lot of other people, Thoreau and the naturalists, to nature. And a lot of the religions and the personal soul has lost that connection to the essential part of who we are. You know, he talks about answering those questions, particularly in soul relationships, because we're all souls and we're attempting to relate in some form of harmony. Some don't. Global warming, for example, addresses being in harmony with nature, and we're not. So any soulful religion, if you want to call it that, or personal pursuit of discovery of higher intelligence has to include nature and balance with nature. And that's one of our challenges right now. We've overtaxed the earth, and the human resources have affected the natural resources in a negative way.
Yeah, I also think that you're part of the conversation when you were talking about soul and soul mates and all the rest of that. I had an experience while I was listening to that, and I realized that in many ways, if we listen closely to Thomas, we realize that we have this whole relationship thing completely reversed, that if we are here as a soul having a physical incarnation, then the truth of the matter is the weight is on that journey and that discovery. And if we're blessed to have a partner, the blessing is that periodically we have the opportunity to engage and exchange and whatnot. But the true purpose for our being here, in Thomas's perspective, is in fact to encourage each other to take the journey that our soul is here to take.
Yeah, I liked his, allowance of differences in discovery. And we need to do that, but we need to do it with love,
yeah.
Not in discrepancy or in conflict.
Yeah. More next week with Thomas. Looking forward to it.
More with more?
More.
Okay. Here's Bruce.
Hey there, mister. Can you tell me what happened to the seeds I've sown? Can you give me a reason, sir, as to why they've never grown? They just blown around from town to town till they're back out on these fields. Yeah, where they fell from my hand.
Talk about soul.
Yeah, that song is called This Hard Land, and you know, it feeds us right into our You Gotta Be Kidding segment this week. And because our topic is whose country is this today, rather than tell you about some of the foolish and sometimes inspirational things that happen in the news, we thought we'd just pick some topics because they're so related to this question of whose country it is, you know. Money and politics is an example, you know. Unless we get it out, completely out of politics, we will continue to have such enormous difficulty, you know.
You know, and one of the keys to getting it out is the right of a citizen to vote, which is Citizens United influence on the money and the media and the control, which I know is one of the things, media and opinion and misinformation. But there's an article by Ari Berman in the February 9th Nation magazine about how to protect the vote. And you can go online to nation.com. That's one of the subscriptions I have. That the people who are being prevented from voting are primarily the minorities, the disenfranchised, the poor, and they need to be eased to the polls rather than prohibited to the polls, and then we'll have a larger representation, a majority of this country, which is not the case with what is being voted right now.
That's true. And that ties in, of course, to the whole question of freedom of speech. I mean, we're living in this age where money has become the equivalent of speech, and companies have the right to speak as individuals. It's just bizarre, you know?
Leonard Cohen sang something in the very beginning about this is murder. And I think it's both literal and metaphorical. We've had murders of minorities, you know, black people in particular, which has created another revolution that reminds me of the cities that burned in the 60s. Do we have to go through that again? And then there's a metaphorical murder of philosophy and democracy that is intentionally being propagandized through these special interests because they have the money.
So money and politics, freedom of speech, the right to vote, critical topics in this conversation about what is America and whose country it is. And there's also, of course, the question of the environment. You know, I mean, we're on the brink of doing something terribly, terribly irreversible. Some people think that it's already been done. The fact of the matter is what we're doing is we're jeopardizing the well-being of the planet, and we're using economics as a reason for doing it. We justify everything in America against some sort of an economic standard, even our very survival.
Yeah. I'm going to refer our listeners to another book because it all ties into healing the soul, our individuated souls, as Thomas More talks about, but our collective soul. Marianne Williamson wrote a book a number of years ago. She's a best-selling author of various books on love, a return to love being very prominent, Healing the Soul of America. And she got a lot of static about this book, but it is a treatise on the oligarchy and the plutocracy and the special power interests. So I refer you to Healing the Soul of America for a guide as well as your own heart and soul.
Yeah, because she talks about spiritual citizenship, you know, in Healing the Soul of America. And, you know, very courageous stuff. And then lastly, a topic that all of us have to start paying more attention to is media and the question of whether or not opinion and misinformation should be the purview of media to promote, and that we have the ridiculous audacity to call it news today.
Yeah. Well, you just need to wake up, be educated, and share that with people, not necessarily in a power-over dogmatic way, but we need to go to the place of our inner heart and soul, where consciousness resides and treats everything equally, shared with respect, with custodianship, including nature.
And, you know, as another friend and guest on this show often says, Byron Katie, we have to start asking ourselves the question, is it true?
Yeah.
You know, well, is it true?
There we go. As many of the indigenous wisdom elders, shamans have said to us in the past, we're in the dream state. There's another reality. Operate from that reality, the unified field of all that is. Should we do more Bruce here?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Where is he? Come up, Bruce.
And me and my sister from Germantown, yeah, we did right. Well, we made our bed, sir, from the rock on the mountainside. We've been rolling around from town to town, looking for a place of land where the sun bursts through the clouds to fall like a circle of fire down on this hard ground.
Age Nation Radio. Love. Laugh. Enjoy life.
George and Alan back for segment four. Here's another great Enlivened Aging segment.
Hi, I'm Sedina with Enlivened Aging Strategies, simple yet powerful tools to support you in creating greater clarity, balance, inner peace, and rejuvenation for your body, mind, and spirit. Today's Enlivened Aging strategy is willingness. One of our greatest assets and a powerful choice at any age for living a conscious, fulfilling life is at our fingertips. It's a willingness, a quality that if adopted into our character can make the difference between a closed and an open door in our lives and create miracles wherever we go. We can't change something we're not willing to acknowledge. So the first step in our willingness is awareness. Just to be aware of how we are feeling, perceiving, and acting toward ourselves and others. Awareness then becomes a powerful catalyst for change because we are now open to possibilities. The second step in our willingness is to accept ourselves and our life situation as it is, without judgment or criticism. And this, of course, can be challenging. Most of us want to change what we don't like about ourselves and our lives and do it instantly as soon as we become aware of it. But if we do this, we miss an essential step in the process of becoming our most radiant and authentic selves. We miss our true feelings and the allowing of that truth to guide us to our next and most positive destination. So loving kindness, compassion, and acceptance for ourselves exactly where we are opens us to the next step for our highest and best. The third step in our willingness is action, and it flows naturally from the compassionate awareness and acceptance of ourselves and our life circumstances. We can then successfully summon the willingness to take positive action and work with changes in a way that uplifts and empowers us. This great asset of willingness puts us back in control of our lives by focusing our energy on the one thing we can truly change, ourselves. So willingness is a great asset, allowing us to turn the challenges into opportunities and then to view these opportunities and the changes they require as doorways to new discovery, growth, and fulfillment at whatever age we find ourselves. We are each incomparable beings with gifts and talents and experience unlike anyone else. And choosing willingness will uncover our authentic selves so we can live healthy, rewarding, and successful lives. Remember now to include willingness in your Aging Consciously backpack and go to Enlivened Aging, that's AGEING.com, for more. Many blessings.
They say every man must need protection. They say every male must fall. Yet I swear I see my reflection someplace so high above the wall.
Bob Dylan. So a little commentary here, huh? So let's return to Eric Hoffer's quote, you know, that opened the show today. No matter how noble the objectives of government, if it blurs decency and kindness, cheapens human life, and breeds ill will and suspicion, it is an evil government. As we said earlier, for these reasons, we believe it's way past time to get serious and drag the motives of the obstructionists who hold power in Washington and in so many of our state capitals out into the clear light of day. We believe it's time to hold those who are holding the American economy, the environment, our most vulnerable citizens, and our future hostage accountable for these sins. You see, what's going on in America is more than just political gamesmanship and minor differences in political philosophy. What's being perpetrated are crimes against democracy and each of us as citizens. And we're the only ones who can put a stop to it. We can start by reminding every member of Congress that they work for us. We can remind them that their salaries and expenses and retirement and health care benefits are paid for by our taxes, and therefore they have to be responsible and responsive to our needs and not to lobbyists, corporate sponsors, and anonymous large donors. And if they don't listen, then as employers, we should figure out a way to withhold their pay and benefits and do precisely what they're doing to so many hardworking Americans all around the country. We should take their retirement benefits away. And if they want to know why, we should tell them the truth. For their incompetence, gross negligence, dereliction of duty, and sins against humanity. How do we get this done, both inside and outside the system? Inside the system, demand changes in the election process. If we can't overturn Citizens United because the fools who approved it are still the majority on the court, then let's neutralize Citizens United by changing the nature of elections themselves. Look to other countries where elections only last a couple of months, all the candidates run according to the same rules, and all funding is public, limited, and equal. Spending billions of dollars on elections is nothing less than obscene. In regard to other ways, we have to remember in the end it's our money that these people are spending. And if we don't supply it and we restrict its use, then they won't have anything to play with and they'll have to go home. You see, it's beyond comprehension that a small, relatively small group of individuals should be allowed without consequence to visit such pain and suffering upon this country and in particular on the increasing number of older Americans, on the sick who require medical treatment and cannot get it, on our veterans who we're abandoning, on children who need our support, and on families who require assistance. We can't let everyone get swept up in this maelstrom. It's beyond comprehension that we, the people, are allowing both parties to support attempts to undercut 200 years of progress. And let's not stop there. Let's get even more serious. Regional, national boycotts of businesses and corporations and products and services that support this compassionless and selfish agenda. Let's cut off the flow of attention to media that distort and lie and cheat and divide us. And if these political mercenaries and paid political hacks who are trying to destroy democracy don't stop, then let's get really serious. Local, regional, and national days of objection, what used to be called general strikes. Let's shut things down so that we get their attention. Yes, it's time, America, time we take this extraordinary, remarkable, noble country back before it's too late. It's time. It's time. It's time. So I ask you, whose country is this?
Okay. Well, I'll answer it. It's ours. And anything else is not part of democracy or government by and for the people. So we'll continue next week with another deeper look at things that support you in living the life you were born to live. We'll do that second part of that conversation I had with Thomas More, Soulful Man, author of the new version of A Religion of One's Own.
Don't forget to visit agenation.com. This week you're going to find some great stuff. 6 programs in Seattle at the Center for Living, May through November. Find some great stuff that's going to happen at Denver at Mile High Church. We're also going to be announcing the Elder Corps, 10 remarkable days in April. So great stuff. You'll find it all at agenation.com. And now let's go back to our good friend Bob Dylan.
My light comes shining from the west down to the east, any day now I shall be released.
The best is yet to come. Age Nation Radio.